Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon. Providing today is the same God who is healing today, is the same God who is faithful to us today. And God, we just praise you. We thank you for just allowing us to just notice that and to have you, the same God, because you're faithful even when we aren't. And so, Lord, today we say thank you. We're so grateful. We're so humbled by who you are and what you've done. And it's in Jesus' precious holy name we pray. And everybody said together, amen and amen. Let's thank our worship team for leading us so well today. Y'all can be seated. Well, good morning. And once again, just want to welcome you to City Hope Church. We're so glad you're here today. I want you to know that your presence matters. It's a really big deal to us that you are here and you decided to be a part of this gathering today. And for anyone that is maybe new, maybe one of your first times here, my name's Bobby, and I would love the opportunity to meet you and have a time just to connect. Our teams have worked really, really hard to turn this into something that you enjoy, and they work really hard to make this church feel like your church. How many of you guys today are ready for the summer to kick off? Anybody ready for summer? All right, some of you guys are. I am so excited. I love the summertime. I when I think about summer, this is the first thing that comes to my mind. See if anybody goes here with me. All right, you ready? This is the first thing that comes to my mind. Anybody like, what is that? It's the ice cream truck, right? That's the first thing that comes to my mind when I think about the summer. Somebody explain to all the Gen Zers what that is, but it just makes me want to run and ask my mom for a dollar, right? Like, Mom, I need a dollar. It's probably like $20 now, and I don't even know what an ice cream truck is. But I love summer because it just... it breaks up. It's a new season, right? For some of us, it's you know, the kids are not going to school and we get a little break there. But I love just kind of the restart that summer gives for so many of us. And I think especially in our walk with the Lord, the summer can be a really good time to just rededicate or you know, recommit to what God's called you to do. But can I just be honest with you this morning? I mean, I'm not going to lie to you, so I am going to be honest. But when summer hits in the church world kind of takes a dip. Not just City Hope Church, the Big C Church, all church gatherings in the summer. You ask any pastor, and for most of them, the attendance goes down, the serving goes down. The giving goes down. And for most churches, the summertime is just not the greatest time of year, right? And here's what happens. And it's kind of normal, right? You go on vacation, there's stuff going on, but here's what happens. 1 week turns into 2 weeks, right? 2 weeks turns into a month, and then you roll over and it's August, right? And it's like, what just happened? Right? And so here's the danger that I think that happens in the summer. And I want you to lock in for a second, because not everybody just abandons church. That's not what I'm saying, okay? That's not what I'm saying. But what also happens is we don't prioritize it, right? We don't abandon it. We still like it. It's still a good thing, right? But we don't put a priority on it. And so what happens is other things take the priority. Right? Let's just get a little real today, right? Ball games start taking priority and camps and you know, I'm just tired. We went on vacation and we got home Saturday night, and so I'm just tired and all these other things, you know, hey, it's a beautiful day. Let's hit the boat, right? All those things. Now, I'm meddling in some of y'all's business this morning, but those things begin to take precedence over consistency in church, right? And then here's what happens. Those things multiply. And for those of you who have children, I want you to just think about this with me for a second. Those of you that have children, what are we teaching our children when other things become a priority more than church? And you can look at every statistic you want to. Young adults rarely go to church in their 20s anymore until they get out of college, because they've been taught that if something else good on the weekend comes up, we'll just go do that. And so I'm not telling you this morning that if you skip church, your kid's going to grow up and be Satan. All right? I'm not telling you that, right? I'm not saying that. But here's my heart, okay? Here's my heart as I'm just kind of getting this kicked off today. I read this thought this week, and this is what really got me thinking about this. That what is neglected in one generation is abandoned by the next. What is neglected in one generation is abandoned by the next. And so what I want to do with you today is our job as a church staff, as City Hope Church, we want to help you. We want to strengthen you. We want to give you an opportunity to make a commitment and go hard and go through what this looks like. And so I want you to make a choice today as we're getting ready to kick off the summer. Make a choice today, just like Joshua did. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't care what everybody else in Bluffton, South Carolina is doing, but as for me and my house, this summer, we're going to serve the Lord, and we're going to go against the norm. And here's why I want you to do this. Here's why I don't want you to be a part of the dip, okay? Because truly, 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 I want you to see what God can do through you. I want you to see what God can do through you. You think, oh, if I show up or not, it really doesn't matter. I want you to test God this summer. I want you to go, all right, God, I'm going to make a commitment to you. We're going to do something different, and I want you to see what God can do through you. One of the things that I think is our job as a church is to give you something to come to, right? give you a gathering, give you a message, give you a sermon, give you a good kids ministry. I want you to have that, right? And I want you to not want to miss. And so that's something that we're going to do. But one thing that I asked our team to do today, and there should be in your seats, there's these little cards. If you got this card, grab it for me. There should be one in your seat or next to you. It can be one per family if you want one for yourself. If you don't have one in the seat, they're all around. There's some out here. You can grab one on your way out. But here's what I wanted to do, and here's why I'm doing this, okay? One of my good friends, his name rhymes with Scott Richardson. He sent a video the other day of him bowling, right? And he didn't mean to, but he in the video he showed the lanes, and there was little bumpers in both of his lanes that he was bowling in. And I was like, really? You're a grown man. And so Scott, keep going, buddy. But this is what I thought about when I saw his bumpers. Like, this is just a little bumper for us, okay? This is just some bumpers, because guess what? Sometimes, just like a bowling ball, we get off and we start drifting over into the gutter and we need something to bump us back. That's what this is, okay? This is just a little commitment card for you, a little bumper for you to go, okay, you know what? I want to make this commitment. And so this summer, when Saturday night hits and Sunday morning that alarm goes off, and you would much rather lay in bed, or you would much rather go fishing, you would much rather stay and, you know, go play golf, you're like, you know what? I made a commitment. I made a commitment, and I want to prioritize what God prioritizes. And so this is just a little commitment card that I'm asking you to take on with us and allow God to use this summer. Really, today, and when time the school goes back, we got 12 Sundays. Okay, counting today till when school kicks back off in August. It's just 12 Sundays. It's not really that long. And so I'm asking you to make a commitment over 12 Sundays. There's a bunch of stuff on there. Read that, go through that, and let's make a commitment together. All right, we good? All right, everybody good? All right, so we're going to kick off a new series today. And I told Joseph he could use this old picture of me for the logo. And so, thanks, Joe. That, if y'all were wondering what I look like with hair, that's it right there. we're starting this new series. It's called Small Books, Big Truths. And what we're going to do over the next 12 weeks, there's 12 books of the Bible at the end of the New Testament called the Minor Prophets. And these aren't minor prophets because they're not as cool or as impactful as the major prophets. They're minor prophets because most of the books are pretty small, okay? They are written by these prophets of God, from God, and they have some incredible, incredible messages to the people. Now, these prophets, what would happen is they would get a message straight from God, and the reason they would get this message was to give to God's people. Okay, that's what they were doing. And so what would happen is if God's people begin to drift off, and that's what we're going to see a lot of, the Israelites were God's people, and they begin to drift far from God. And what would happen is these prophets would come and speak on behalf of God. And so that's what we're going to learn about today. Okay, and I love that song we just sang. The same God that we're going to read about in the Old Testament thousands of years ago is the same God we serve today. It's the same messages that we get to listen and learn today. And so these minor prophets, they spoke straight from God. And over these next several weeks, we're going to see these minor prophets and we're going to see God confront sin. All right, there was a lot of sin going on in the Bible. We're going to see God call people to repentance. All right? We're going to see the Holy Spirit convict, and we're going to ask the Lord to show us in our lives what does this mean for us today? Because I think not only the conviction and the repentance and the calling that God puts on the people of Israel, but what we're really going to see is this is an invitation from God that even though his people continued to run away from him, God never stopped pursuing them. And that's the main takeaway of this entire series. You're gonna hear this every week. God never stops chasing us, even when we run the other way. And that's good news right there, church. That's good news that God's never gonna stop chasing you, even when you run the other way. And so, today, we're going to start in Hosea. So if you have your Bible, go to Hosea chapter 1. It's towards the end of the Old Testament. Bring it up. It'll be on the screen here in just a minute. But let me give you a little bit of context of this chapter or of this entire book, okay? Hosea was one of the prophets. He heard from God. He spoke directly to God's people. Now, Hosea, his ministry lasted about 40 years. Now, for some of you know this. The Bible isn't written in chronological order, right? We start in Genesis and we go through. That's not the chronological order. Hosea is really, he comes on the scene somewhere in the middle of like 2 Kings 14 through 20. Somewhere in there is where Hosea's ministry takes place. Now, his ministry was primarily directed to the children of Israel, all right? These were God's people. God led them out of the wilderness. He led them into the wilderness. Then he got them out of the wilderness. And then this was Hosea's main people that he was speaking to. He was telling them about God's goodness. He was telling them about who they were serving and how they were living. And if they were living against God or for God, he was the spokesperson. Now, Israel here, they got to experience a lot of really nice things. They got to experience God in some ways that many people didn't. They got to see God do miracles. Manna coming down from heaven. Oceans, seas parting. They got to see a lot of godly miracles. But even though they got to see a lot of godly things, they had a lot of sin. And they continued in their sin. They saw God do something awesome, and then they would turn away from it. They would turn to these other religious idols. They would turn to these other political idols, even though they saw God. They were seeking security, but what they would do is they would end up participating in idolatry. Let me say that again. They were seeking security. They were trying to fill their lives up with things that they thought were going to be good, that they thought they were going to be helpful. But what would happen is it turned into idolatry. Now, I'm not going to dig into this, but I want you to understand what we're going to talk about, because all through these next 12 books, these next 12 weeks, you're going to see a lot of idolatry. And idolatry is simply this. It's a lack of trust and devotion to the Lord. It's a lack of trust and devotion to the Lord. When you or I put anything above God, that is idolatry. So let's, before we even get in today, what's your idols? What are the things right now in your life that may be hard for you to admit, but these are some things that I have above God. For some of us, it's our bank account. For some of us, it's our job. For some of us, listen, this is a tough one. For some of us, it's your children. It's your grandchildren. For some of us, it's me. I put myself above God. So, and now, students, don't miss this, because this isn't just for parents. Because for some of you students, your sports team, right? Your friends, your boyfriend or girlfriend. Anything that we put above God is an idol. So what we're going to see is that Hosea is often referencing these things in his writings. We're going to see a lot of, there's a lot of metaphors, there's a lot of symbolism, there's a lot of wordplay here that we're going to get into. But basically what Hosea is trying to do is explain and expose the rebellion that is taking place in humanity. And so you're going to see God's grief over sin. You're also going to see God's redemption. And this is going to give us a really good idea of what's taking place here. And so here's what I want to do. I want to invite Henley Scarborough up. She's going to come and she's going to read our scripture for us today. You guys give Henley a big round of applause. Now, I asked Henley today, have you been practicing? Okay? Because y'all are getting ready to see some names and some words that don't go together. All right? The English language was not thought about when these people named their kids these things. All right? So let's do this. Let's stand to our feet and honor the reading of God's word. And Henley's going to read Hosea chapter 1, verses 1 through 9 for us today.
The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, son of Beeri, during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and of Jeroboam, son of Jehoash, king of Israel. When the Lord first spoke to Hosea, he said this to him, "Go and marry a woman of promiscuity and have children of promiscuity, for the land is committing blatant acts of promiscuity by abandoning the Lord." So he went and married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Then the Lord said to him, "Name him Jezreel, for in a little while I will bring the bloodshed of Jezreel on the house of Jehu and put an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. On that day I will break the bow of Israel in the Jezreel valley." She conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. And the Lord said to him, "Name her Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no longer have compassion on the house of Israel. I will certainly take them away. But I will have compassion on the house of Judah, and I will deliver them by the Lord their God. I will not deliver them by bow, sword, or war, or by horses and cavalry." After Gomer had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and gave birth to a son. Then the Lord said, "Name him Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God."
Amen. Thank you, Henley. You guys give Henley a big round. Awesome, awesome job. Pray with me. Father, I pray that you would speak in a mighty way. God, you know exactly what's on our hearts. You know the idols we may have. You know the struggles that we may have. You know the victories that we're walking through right now. You know the hurts and the pains and all the joy that we have. And so God, speak directly to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Right off the bat, I want you to understand, and hopefully as we go through this story today, you will see this. Other than Jesus going to the cross, other than that story that we've read, this story right here is arguably the greatest expression and demonstration of God's love for you and I. Now, some of you may have never heard of this story, but outside of Jesus dying on the cross and God sending his son, this right here is the best example of God's love and demonstration for his people. Now, many of these prophets that we're going to read about over the coming weeks, they were giving a task from the Lord. The Lord told them to do something. He told them to say something. But I believe Hosea was given the most embarrassing, and some might even say the most ridiculous assignment from God. Now, can we just imagine for a second what we just read? All right, God and Hosea are having a conversation. All right, Hosea, listen, I've chosen you, man. You are great. I think you're going to go do great things. And so I've chosen you to be a prophet. Everybody's going to be looking to you. And I want to use you, Hosea, to speak to my people. And so I imagine Hosea was like, "All right, man, that sounds awesome. Let's go. Let's do this." And then God said, "Okay, Hosea, here's what I want you to do. First thing I want you to do. You ready? I want you to go marry that prostitute over there. Imagine Hosea for a second. Say, what? Like, God, did I just hear you tell me that you wanted to use me and I get to speak, you know, godly things to people? What? Yeah, I do. I want you to go marry that prostitute over there. And we don't get a lot more explanation other than, guess what happened? Hosea obeyed. Hosea immediately obeys. Now, here's something that we gotta get right today, church. And whether you've been in church a long time or this is the first time in a long time, you gotta understand this, that sometimes God calls his people to do hard things. Sometimes God calls his people to do hard things. I think the church struggles with this. I really, really do. And here is a much needed correction to a very common misconception, right? And I want you to look at this with me. We kind of have adopted or we've absorbed this subtle but toxic idea. And here's how we think about God, right? That God's will equals my comfort and my success and my emotional fulfillment. We think that if it's God's will, then I gotta be comfortable, I gotta be successful, I have to feel good about it. Because anything that makes me feel off, anything that makes me feel bad, anytime that I have a struggle, well, that can't be from God. He wouldn't do that to me. And we have this misconception that anytime pain comes, anytime that there's a cost, anytime that I have to go through something hard and it doesn't work out, we assume, well, I just missed God or God wasn't in that and I must have just, you know, but the Bible flatly contradicts that, church. That is not the equation for God's will. Charles Spurgeon, one of my favorite all-time preachers, he said this, obedience to God may cost us everything, but it is never a mistake. The hardest commands often lead to the sweetest communion. It's almost like the church today is allergic to hard things. It's almost like if something difficult comes up, you mean I gotta give a little bit more time? I gotta get up a little earlier? You mean I gotta go have a conversation with somebody that's uncomfortable? You mean that my neighbor who's really mean and gives me dirty looks, I gotta love them? That can't be God's will. For some of you, maybe God has been asking you to do something hard and you keep putting it off. God wants you to take a step and God wants you to commit. He wants you to do something difficult, but you're still wondering, well, why are things in my life so unhealthy? Maybe it's because you're not taking the step that God's calling you to. And maybe God's just waiting for you to obey. So God didn't just allow Hosea's marriage to be hard, he commanded it. Think about that for a second. He commanded the hardness. Go marry a prostitute. This wasn't a suggestion. This was a direct and costly, and humiliating obedience that Hosea had to take on. This was not something easy. So sometimes God calls people to do hard things. And then look in verse 2, Hosea obeyed this seemingly terrible plan. And he married a prostitute named Gomer. What an unfortunate name. Anybody in here named Gomer? I'm sorry. Don't name your kid Gomer. Sorry. He marries a prostitute. And about verses 3 through 9, it really covers about 3 to 4 years there in those verses. The first 3 or 4 years are pretty decent. They have 3 children together and things seemingly are going well. But then there's a twist. In chapter 2, verse 5, Hosea says this, and now this is a metaphor. This is speaking about the children of Israel, but this is also about his real life and his real wife, okay? Look what Hosea says in chapter 2, verse 5. Yes, their mother is promiscuous. She conceived them, and then she acted shamefully. Watch this. For she thought, well, I'm going to follow my lovers, the men who gave me food and water, my wool and flax, my oil and drink. So after about 3 or 4 years of Hosea marrying Gomer, they have these kids. And then after about 3 or 4 years, Hosea wakes up one day and she's gone. She's not there anymore. Now, again, this is one of the most well-known, religious, godly men that everybody knows who he is. Can you imagine the embarrassment he wakes up now as a single dad of three? His wife is no longer in the picture. I'm sure there were some dark nights. I'm sure there were some sleepless nights. Probably some anger. Probably some tears. And then I want you to see what God asks Hosea to do again. Go to chapter 3, verse 1. It'll be here on the screen. Look what God says. Then the Lord said to me, go and love your wife again. Are you kidding me? Even though she commits adultery with another lover, this will illustrate that the Lord still loves Israel. Even though the people have turned to other gods and love to worship them, God says, go find her, Hosea. I know when you first married her, she was a prostitute, but now she's ran off again and has committed adultery. Go find her. Just imagine, Hosea. God, do you know what she's done to me? God, do you know what she's put our family through? Yeah, I know. I want you to go find her. He says, all right, I'll go. Now, again, the Bible doesn't give us a ton of information, but can you just imagine with me, Hosea, the most well-known godly man in the area, probably had to head down to the red light district, right, where the prostitutes hung out. He probably had to go to a place where godly men didn't normally go to find his wife. And just imagine as he's walking through the crowd and he's like, hey, have you seen my wife? And imagine him just walking through the crowd. Hey, have you seen Gomer? And my mind just goes immediately to probably if there's men hanging out in this area, these are probably some of the men that have already slept with his wife. And so he's walking up and he's like, hey, this is awkward, but have you seen my wife Gomer? I'm looking for her. And now watch this, church. The Bible says that he found Gomer. But you know where he found her? He found her on the auction block. She's in the sex slave industry. And she is being put out in front of all these men to be taken by the highest bidder. That's his wife. That's the woman that God said, here's what I want you to do. And I got a great plan for you, Hosea. I want you to go marry her. And so just imagine what is going on in Hosea's mind. He's a holy man. He's famous for loving God. He finally locates her, and she's on this selling block, and he walks into the auction, and his wife is being auctioned off. And then watch this. Look at verse 2 here in chapter 3. So I bought her back. So I bought her back for 15 pieces of silver, 5 bushels of barley, and a measure of wine. Now, I don't have time to go into this, but I want to challenge you today. Go and just on this verse right here, every one of these numbers and these items, the silver, the bushels, the barley, the wine, every one of these has significance in the Bible, all right? The numbers and all the items. Go check that out. Go dig into that a little bit. But he goes and he buys his wife back. Now, here's something, I got to go quick. Here's something that kind of blows my mind when I'm reading this. He's buying something that is already his. Think about that, church. He is giving money for his own wife. She's already belongs to him, and he's buying something that's already his. It doesn't really make a lot of sense until you realize what God's trying to show us. Look at this. This is what This is what kind of blew my mind this week when God showed me this. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So what does that mean? That God, the creator of it all of the creation and all of its inhabitants belong to him. All the oceans, all the mountains, all the birds, all the fish in the sea, all humanity, it all belongs to him. He is the owner of it all. And what did he do? He said, I love the world so much that I'm going to send my only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So wait a minute. If he's the owner of it all, he's the owner of you and I, he's the owner of the earth and all its inhabitants, you mean to tell me that Jesus paid for something that he already owned? Jesus had to come and die on the cross for something that was already his. It was already his. It had already been given to him. And so the Father said, you know what? Even though they're mine, they've committed spiritual adultery. They've committed idolatry. And so because of that, I'm gonna go pay for them again. I'm gonna go pay for them. And he sent his son, not with silver, not with barley, but with his blood. With his blood. That's the gospel. That's the gospel, church. That's how far God is willing to go to get you and I back. That's why the story of Hosea, it's not just some weird Old Testament story. It's a picture of your life and my life. It is a picture of what God has done for us. And you go through the rest of the book in chapters 4 through 14. God is repeating this same heartbroken message to Israel over and over and over. And he's telling Israel, you've chased other lovers. You've chased other things. And you've broken my heart, but I still want you back. But I still want you back. And in chapter 11, God cries out. Listen to what he says here. In chapter 11, God cries out like a loving father over his rebellious son. Again, the nation of Israel. And the book ends in chapter 14 with one of the sweetest promises in all of the Bible. Look what it says. Hosea chapter 14, verse 4. Watch this. I will heal their waywardness and love them freely. I mean, you and I, when we read this story of Hosea and Gomer, it makes no sense. It's like, man, that dude is a radical wow. But then when we understand, and I think here's where we're going to land the plane today. When we ask the question, well, in this story, who's Hosea? Hosea's God. Hosea's God. The God whose love is relentless. The God whose love is, even when we run away and try to hide, he still comes to find us. Even though we're already his, he paid the price for something that he already owned. When I hide from God, he still seeks. And so if God is Hosea, then who's Gomer? That's me and you. That's me and you, church. I'm Gomer. You're Gomer. We're the ones that have wandered. I'm the one who chases other loves, success and comfort and pleasure and approval. I'm the one that's drifted. I'm the one who knows of this radical love, this Jesus who gave everything for me, and I continue to turn my back and run into sin. I'm Gomer. I know for some of us, you come to church today and you realize pastor's up there calling me Gomer, man. Like, it's not a very encouraging day. I'm not really inspired to go home. But here's what I want you to hear today. I want you to definitely understand the part about you and I being Gomer. But I want you to walk out of here hearing this and allowing God to use this in your heart today. Your Hosea is still pursuing you. That's my inspiration. That Hosea will go into the darkest places to find me. To the places that I should have never been in the first place, Hosea will go and find me. And church, I just want to challenge you today. If you've been running, maybe today God's just kind of put a light on, man, you're Gomer. And if you've been running, I believe this with all of my heart. The reason you're here this morning is to hear this, is that today's the day to come home. You don't have to run any longer. Stop running. I want to ask you just to bow your heads and close your eyes this morning. I'm going to apologize. We're going to go just a few minutes over, but I think this is really, really important. Some of you are here this morning and the Holy Spirit's stirring and there's conviction and there's struggle going on right now in your heart and you're realizing today, I've been running. I'm just like Gomer. I'm running to dark places. I'm running to the wrong places. And today God is calling you to come home. And it's really it's your choice. It's kind of a simple choice. Either I'm going to run home or I'm going to keep running away. And if that's you, you say, I'm ready to come home, then realize today you've got a Hosea, you've got a God that is there ready to take you back. And if you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus, you've been running. Right now you're in the midst of hiding from God, you're in the midst of struggle, you're in the midst of chaos. Then right now, I want to invite you to say a prayer with me. And hear me today. It's not a magical prayer. It's about what's going on in your heart. This is just me leading you in a simple prayer. And if you mean it with your heart, that's what matters the most. You say, God, I'm ready to come home. If that's you right now in the quietness of your heart there in your seat, would you just pray this with me? God, I've been unfaithful. God, I'm sorry. I'm done running. I'm coming home. Thank you for buying me back with the blood of Jesus. I repent and I turn my life over to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, if you prayed that prayer with me, that's just this first step, right? That's just the first step. And I want to help you. We want to help you take the next step. We want to help you on this journey. And I want to encourage you today, before you leave, if you prayed that prayer and God's stirring in your heart and you're realizing you're Gomer, you're convicted, you need repentance, you need help, stop and ask somebody. Our pastors, our prayer team, we'll be over here, we'll be out front, we'll be scattered around. Stop and say, hey, I prayed with Pastor Bobby today and I need some help with my next steps. Don't let pride keep you from taking the next step. Maybe for some of you today, you know someone who's living like Gomer. Maybe it's a child of yours. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a friend. And so my question to you today is, how are you, God, calling me to love the Gomer in my life? Hosea's love is radical. It does not look like Bobby's love. It does not look like a 2026 kind of love. But my question to you today and my challenge to you today is, would you commit to loving Gomer like Hosea loved Gomer? not because you need to feel better, not because you want your life to be better, because God needs you to help somebody realize that Hosea is still after them. Let me just say that again. God wants to use you to help someone realize who Hosea is and what he's all about. And church, guess what? We are the ones that have to deliver that message. We are the ones that are supposed to show the world what Hosea's love looks like. We can't depend on the world to do that. They don't know Hosea. And for all of us, let's fight the dip. Let's fight the dip this summer. Let's stay faithful. Because the same God who pursued Gomer is the same God who is pursuing you and I today. God never stops chasing us, even when we run the other way. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this wild, crazy, embarrassing story of Hosea. Lord, it's truly kind of hard to comprehend and kind of hard to fathom. But that's who you are. Your ways are not our ways. Your thoughts are not our thoughts. And the way you love is not the way we love. But God, I just pray that each and every one of us would strive to live like Hosea. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would realize where in my life am I Gomer, and I would repent and I would turn back to you and I would understand that your love is there because you sent your son Jesus to pay for something that you already owned. And so God, help us to just make a commitment for these next 12 weeks, for this summertime, that we're not gonna run. The only running we're gonna do is after you. The only chasing that's gonna happen is us chasing after you. And so Lord, help us, give us strength to make that commitment. Lord, the enemy's gonna fight. He's gonna put distractions, he's gonna put fun things, he's gonna put tiredness, he's gonna put everything in our paths not to make a commitment to you. Give us strength. Help us, remind us that you're Hosea and that your love is big. In Jesus' name. Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day. As always, if you need somebody to chat with, you need somebody to talk to, pray with you, to help you through whatever it is that the Lord's stirring in your heart today, that's why we're here, and we want to help. Our prayer team will be back at the table back there, and our deacons, our elders, like whoever you need to talk to. I want to invite our ushers to come forward now as we take time to worship through our giving. And let me just remind you of a couple things. One, you don't give to City Hope, you give through City Hope. These ministries like Pastor Stephen, we're talking about Honduras and Haiti, and we've got a team going to Africa here this summer, and we're gonna talk more about that. But when you give, you're giving through City Hope. You're giving to those missions, those ministries, these churches that are scattered all around, you know, the U.S. and the world. And so just a reminder of that. Number two is I just wanna thank you. For so many of you, you've been so faithful. You've been, man, you give sacrificially, and many of you do that every single week. And I can't thank you enough. Your support is what keeps us going. Quick update on our property. We're still, we've got some pledges and promises that are coming in. And so we've got about three days left to reach our goal of $600,000. And We're over halfway, but we're still praying for God to do a miracle. And so over these next 3 days, would you just pray with us? And if God's stirring in your heart and you need a conversation, you need more information and all that, please let us know, all right? But I am wholeheartedly believing that God's going to provide this, and I can't wait to be able to stand up here and tell you how he did it. And many of you have been a part of that. And so just continue to pray over the next coming days. We got a lot of conversations, a lot of figures and amounts and stuff that I have no idea what they're talking about most of the time. But I just say yes, and I just pray. And so would you pray with us today as we continue just to seek the Lord on getting this property for City Hope? Let me pray for our offering. Father, we love you, and thank you again for your word. Thank you again that we can trust you, that no matter what we're walking through, you're a good, good Father. And so bless these tithes and these offerings, Lord. I pray that you would give us boldness and courage to give, because it's all yours. You gave it to us in the first place. And so, Lord, help us just to give back and bless the cheerful giver. I pray for a mighty blessing of you on each and every person who gives. Lord, the sacrifice that it takes, whether it's a dollar or a thousand, doesn't matter. You know our hearts. And so, Lord, bless us. Use this offering to expand your kingdom so more people come to know you. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Go ahead, guys.
As the ushers move, I just give me like 1 minute and 20 seconds and we're out of here. I'll go ahead and dismiss this here in a second, but I just wanted to highlight a couple things just for the next couple weeks. We try our best to kind of keep you guys informed what's going on with students, with kids, and all the different things, especially going into the summer. And so I just want to highlight these things real quick. Next week, May 24th, we have an event called SCOGO, and all it stands for is Summer Kickoff Grill Out. We just like coming up with acronyms, and by we, I mean me. I don't know why, I just like acronyms. And so that's SCOGO, but here's what I want you to know about it. For anybody, any student in the room, but also for the parents, this is important. This is an event that's happening outside of here, so we're not doing it here. We're doing it at one of the parents' homes. But so the only way that we can do that, though, is we need to have a release form for any parents in the room. And the easiest way to get that from you is in the next slide, if you could go to the next slide, Dave, for me. Text students to that number, because when you text that number, you'll get all the information. You get like you'll get the address of the home. You'll get the form, and we need to have that so that you know everybody can stay safe and we can have a great time and all the fun and all those good things. So that's important for you to know. Also happening next week for our kids during our service, we're gonna have our end of summer just bash party. Whatever you want to call it. It's going to be a great time. So if you have any kids, make sure to be here next week. It's going to be a blast. They're going to be able to be outside for a little bit, just have a little bit of fun, you know, end of summer stuff. And so make sure that you are here next week. And this is what I want you to know. If they have pretty dresses, don't wear them. Because I think we're going to have some popsicles going on and stuff like that. And, you know, I don't want my little girl's dress to get all messed up with red popsicle. So I'm sure you don't either. So if you have, you know, pretty clothes, don't wear them next week. Make sure they have play clothes on. That's going to be a blast. If you want any more information, you can come talk to me or Courtney, our kids director. And the last thing is this. I want to leave you with this. This is important. As we grow, as we continue to grow, our kids ministry is also growing. So we have an average of between 50 to 60 kids every week. But here's what that means. We need people. Because here's what ends up happening that maybe you don't know, is that most churches end up having to either close rooms or reject families. And what happens if you show up to a church and they reject you and you have kids? You're probably not going back. And so that is the last thing that we want to do here at City Hope, because we're a church of families. Like we have so many families in our services. And so we want to continue to grow our kids ministry, but also we need to grow the structure around it. And so actually, this morning, they were giving out cards, little invite cards. But this QR code, all this is right here, if you scan this QR code, all it does is it gives you a link to be able to schedule an exploratory conversation with our kids' staff. Now, when you do this, that does not mean you're automatically volunteering. It's not like, oh, you're in. You scanned it. All it is to explore, would this be something that you would consider being a part of? Would this be something, maybe you have questions, maybe it's like, well, hey, what do you need? You know, maybe those are the types of questions you have, which those are good questions. So all you have to do is scan this, and it sends you a link, and then you schedule a conversation with our kids staff. That's all it is. It's not a, oh, I'm signed up, and now I'm going next week. And for the next 12 weeks, I'm serving in kids. That's not what that is. So please pray through that. And just consider doing that. If you've ever served with kids before, or maybe God has just kind of given you a little, you know, hey, maybe it's time for you to jump in. This is your next step. This is just have a conversation. So we love you. You are seen and you are sent. I hope you guys have an amazing week and an amazing Sunday. Please come talk to us if you have any questions. Have a blessed Sunday.